That is huge news. And anyway, joining us to analyze what's going on here, we have Dr. Michael Makovsky is with us, President CEO of the Jewish Institute for National Security of America, and our friend Ambassador Nathan Sales, who served in the first Trump administration as Ambassador at Large for Counterterrorism and Acting Undersecretary of State. Ambassador, I like the idea of hope. It sounds like they've just been defeated. You know, it's almost like saying unconditional surrender without unconditional surrender. But I do think there's got to be a component here. If they have all this 60% enriched uranium, that's got to be a part of it. And I would imagine the president would insist on it.
I think so, too. The Iranian regime has proven itself over the years to be completely untrustworthy. No matter what they promise, no matter what they put in writing, the key question is always going to be, is it actually going to be implemented? And, for years they said, we don't have a nuclear weapons program. And then Israel snuck into the country and stole their archive and brought it out for the world to see, oh, it looks like they do have a nuclear weapons program. For years they told us our ballistic missiles could only go 2,000 kilometers. Well, they just took a shot at Diego Garcia about 4,000 kilometers away. So clearly, anything they commit to, anything they say, has to be taken with an entire shaker of salt. So right now, I'm not surprised that the regime would be desperate for some sort of deal to preserve whatever is left of their ballistic missile capabilities or their nuclear capabilities. If we're not going to end the war militarily, but diplomatically right now, we have to make sure that the end game accomplishes all of our military objectives. No nuclear program whatsoever. And as we've seen, their ballistic missile program is even more dangerous than we thought it was. That's got to go too.
Agreed. Dr. Makovsky, what do you think?
Yeah, I can tell me very skeptical. Look, if we could get a great deal, that would be terrific. But I think a great deal means to completely cleanse this country of Iran of any of its nuclear material, not just all the nuclear facilities, but any of that highly enriched uranium all has to be accounted for. Because what worries me, if the regime survives, if you have a deal, by definition, the regime will survive.
Well, tell me who the regime is at this point. Do we even know who the regime is? I mean, I'm sure the president and Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner are convinced that they know they're talking to the right people. However, we'll know very quickly. We'll know in short order, because I would imagine one of the first things they want to do is they're going to go in and extract any 60% enriched uranium, and it will be in our possession. So we'll know right away if they mean it or not, right?
By the way, your point is well taken. Who is the regime? I assume one of the people they're speaking to, and it's, I think, been reported, is the Speaker of the Parliament. But you do have a kind of Weekend at Bernie's kind of situation with the so-called Supreme Leader there. We don't know if he's alive or dead. However, I think it's got to be all the enriched uranium, not just the 60%. My concern about a deal would be that the Iranians then will try to drag this out, because we all know that that's what they do. So if there was such a deal, there'd have to be immediate disclosure and access to all enriched uranium, the stuff that's buried, everything, and destruction then of all those facilities. And that would have to be immediate. If they start playing around, I think then we would have to resume our military operations.
Well, I think it's going to be a little bit more complicated than just blowing it up, Ambassador Sales, because if you blow it up, then you run the risk of a radiation leak, the likes of which we've never seen since Hiroshima, Nagasaki, probably on steroids and human growth hormone. Am I wrong about that?
Yeah, it could be very dicey, Sean. And so, I agree. One of the key outcomes of this war, whether accomplished via military means or through diplomacy, has to be a complete accounting of all Iranian enriched uranium and its removal from the country. And it's not going to be, we trust the Iranians to go look for it and give it to us. We're going to have to go in and get it ourselves. Now, ideally, we would do that after the bullets stop flying. We don't want to put our force at unnecessary risk. But we actually have highly capable, highly trained special forces that have trained precisely for this mission, to go into hostile territory, to identify enriched uranium and to exfiltrate it, one, or two, to dilute it on site so that it can never be a threat to the United States again. So The best case scenario would be after we accomplish our military objectives in this war and the fighting stops, one of the terms, one of the conditions of the ceasefire is we're going to go in and get it, and we're going to do it in a controlled way so that those risks you just identified of damaging the canisters and nuclear fallout, we never have to worry about that because we control the environment on the way in and on the way out.
Maybe you can explain to me. I've had others try, and I'm not well versed in this. My understanding is they can be preserved in those canisters, but they would be in gas form, not necessarily liquid form. That's how little knowledge I have about enriched uranium. Do you know any more than I do?
John, I'm not a nuclear engineer, so I know about as much as you do, maybe a little more, maybe a little less. I think the key point here is there's no civilian use. No plausible civilian use for those canisters. The only reason they could have uranium enriched to this level is to preserve a pathway to a bomb. And if you leave them with access to those canisters in any way, you leave them with a path to a bomb. And they're not going to give up on it. They're only going to give up if we take the material and have a very strict enforcement regime after the bullets stop flying.
It would seem to me that the time to do that would be immediately. Mike Makovsky, in other words, that while our military is still positioned, that would have to be done while they're still there. And that would be the trust and verified moment on that very important issue as it relates to the Iranians having to pay back America for this military conflict. I just know Trump well enough. I've not discussed it with him, but I would imagine he's going to want them to pay us for what we had to do here.
Yeah. By the way, I completely agree. We would have to maintain our forces, and I agree, as the ambassador said, we can't rely on the Iranians to just disclose. We have to make sure that we've gone ourselves and accessed every point that we think the nuclear facilities are or where there could be any enriched uranium, and there'd have to be an orderly removal. I will say, though, if there is no deal, then we'd have to do that, I think, in the context of this conflict, which would obviously pose a lot more risk to our forces. But I think for President Trump, who I think has done an outstanding job here, to really fully declare victory, there has to be a complete resolution, whether through negotiations or through the war of the nuclear material and the nuclear facilities.
Well, I think one of the goals also has to be, Ambassador, no going back. We're done. This is it. This is our last, excursion back to Iran. So this has to be one and done and complete and move on, which would be fully in keeping with the Trump doctrine, right?
I think that's exactly right, Sean. And that's why I also think it's important to ensure that our military objectives are fully accomplished before we call things off. We don't want to end things prematurely with 25% of the targets on the list still existing, only to find out that the Iranians are now, 6 months from now, reconstituting their ballistic missile program, building drones, building centrifuges that they can use to enrich uranium again. America has made a huge investment in this war, in blood and in treasure. We want to make sure that we're doing it right so we don't have to come back and do it again. So that might mean we need a little bit of patience. We might need to let this thing cook for a little while, let the military work its way through its war plan to make sure that it's accomplishing all of its objectives before calling things off prematurely and letting the Iranians up from the mat, which they can then use to restart all of the programs that we're concerned about.
As much as people want to declare that Donald Trump has full control over Israel's actions, I would imagine their objectives are very different than the United States. I would imagine they want regime change. That's never been a stated goal of Donald Trump, although he did say at one point the regime needs to go, and the regime kind of has gone already, isn't it?
I don't think the Israelis believe that you have to end the war with the regime collapse. They'd obviously prefer that, as I'm sure President Trump would. But I think the key is, and I think both countries share this, that the conditions have to be set for a collapse of the regime. And by the way, it's impossible to predict when that could be. It could happen as soon as the fighting stops, or it could be, months later. I mean, the big demonstrations we saw beginning in the end of December, early January, those took place 6 months after the 12-day war. So you have no idea when this is going to start. I don't think the Israelis are going to push President Trump to go until the regime collapse. I think the key is setting the conditions which is weakening the conventional and destroying the nuclear.
I would imagine, maybe there's a final thought here, we'll give it to you, Ambassador, that anywhere, any place, anytime inspections have to be part of any deal.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that the JCPOA, the Obama-era nuclear deal, never had, and that's one of the reasons why it was